Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Gravita India Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Emkay Global, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Gravita India. We have the top management headed by Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, CEO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Vijay Kumar Parikh, Executive Director, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, Chief Financial Officer. Now I would request the management for the opening remarks, and then we can move over to the question and answer round. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hazarika. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us on Q2 and H1 2023 earnings call today. I trust that you have had a look at the results and the earnings presentation uploaded on the exchanges. I will briefly discuss the results, and we can then have the Q&A. I'm very happy to share that Gravita India has shown strong results for Q2 and H1 FY 2023. Before starting with the results, first, let me share some strategic highlights and project updates. Company's step-down subsidiary has started aluminum recycling plant at Senegal, whose annual capacity is 4,000 metric ton per annum. An investment of rupees 3.5 crore has been made for the same, and this has been done through internal accruals. We are hopeful that this project will lead to additional revenues of approximately rupees 60 crores and gross margin of around 20%. Company's step-down subsidiary at Ghana has also started plastic recycling plant, whose annual capacity is 1,200 metric ton per annum in phase one. Plan is to take the capacity to 2,700 metric ton per annum in phase two. For this project, investment of rupees 1.9 crore has been done, and the same has been done through internal accruals only. The company is already having similar plastic recycling facilities in Senegal, Mozambique, and Indian plants. Further, this is in line with the company's vision of replicating the recycling business in different geographies. Gravita has done CapEx of rupees 44 crores in H1, financial year 2022, and the CapEx for the rest of the year is expected to be around rupees 30-35 crores. Let's now discuss the operational performance. Gravita has increased its lead capacity by about 6% in H1 FY 2023 from around 159,000 metric ton to 168,000 metric ton. We are positive that we will reach total capacity of 425,000 metric ton by 2026, including all the existing as well as new verticals. Volume growth. The company has witnessed a volume growth of about 17% in Q2 FY 2023 on year-on-year basis. Mostly all the segments showed positive growth in volumes. On Q-on-Q basis, volume of lead grew by 26%, that of aluminum and plastic grew by 31% and 11% respectively. EBITDA per ton for lead and plastic showed an increase of around 23% and 13% on a year-on-year basis, whereas we saw a slight decline of 6% in EBITDA per metric ton of aluminum. Domestic scrap collection for Indian plants has increased to 47% in Q2 FY 2023 compared to 39% in Q1 FY 2023. We believe that with redefining of battery waste management rules, extended producer's responsibility and stricter implementation of GST, the scrap availability for formal recycling sector will increase and further grow. I'm happy to share that we have managed to bring down our net working capital cycle from 95 days in March 2022 at 80 days in September 2022. Our aim is to bring it further down to 65 days by March 2026. This improvement has been possible due to more availability of domestic scrap and lower imports, which reduces transit inventory and due to retail scrap collection through OEMs, which has zero working capital. Consolidated revenue for the quarter is rupees 683 crores, which is up 25% on year-on-year basis. This increase in the revenue is supported by increase of 17% sales volume. Revenues from value-added products stayed at around 42%. Adjusted EBITDA has grown by 29% to rupees 65 crores on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margins stood at 9.5% and company continues to maintain resilient margins despite increasing cost pressure across major raw materials during the quarter. Gravita reported a strong consolidated PAT of rupees 45 crore, up 21% on Y-on-Y basis. Out of this, about 62% profit is from overseas business. PAT margins also stood strong at around 6.5%. Consolidated revenue increased to rupees 1,262 crore rupees from rupees 993 crore rupees, which is an increase of about 27%. Adjusted EBITDA for the first half stood at 130 crore, up 48% on Y basis. Consolidated PAT for the half year showed a tremendous increase of 48% to rupees 87 crores. Gravita has achieved an ROCE of 30% in H1 FY23 and it is strongly in line with our vision of 2026. I would also like to inform that we have reduced our debt by around 90 crore rupees in H1 financial year 23. This has happened because of our focus on reducing our working capital cycle and we are on target to reduce this further to around 65 days from current 80 days. Thank you everyone for joining us for this call. As you all know, we have a clear vision for 2026 and are optimistic of growing in the future by exploring new opportunities. So I would now like to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Rahul from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. First is, while you know Q2 we have seen a 17% volume growth much better than Q1, we still short on the 25% target that we have given out. So how do you see H2 panning out and in general FY24, you know, 24, 25, are we still holding out that 25% volume growth story out here?
Actually, there were certain setbacks for us in this quarter. Number one is that our Sri Lanka plant was not working at full capacity because there were certain issues in the country itself. And apart from that, certain projects got delayed because of, Chittoor expansion and Togo expansion, which were supposed to happen in Q2 this year, got delayed and would probably start functioning in Q3. So that has delayed some of the volumes that we were expecting in Q2. But going forward, we believe that we are in line with our targets of getting 25% volume growth year on year till 2026.
So sir, within the three segments, if you could just give us a sense, like, you know, lead first half, we have done about roughly 56,000 crores. The year target was about 120,000. Will we be kind of, did the, that 120,000 target still stand?
Yeah, the volume growth of 25%, Rahul, may not be on a year-to-year basis. It may be 20% and it will 20% to 30% on year-on-year basis. But on a three-year basis, 2026, definitely 25% volume growth on a CAGR basis, that will be there considering this capacity expansion at different locations.
Great. Sir, next question was on the gross margins. While Q1 was very high gross margin and you had clearly mentioned that, you know, those were not sustainable, should we take this 20-21% kind of range as the going range for going ahead?
Correct. Q2 gross margin is the sustainable one.
So that around the 20% mark?
Correct.
So even if the, you know, as you go around, as you go along and add more products to your portfolio, this number is not likely to change.
No, it may be slightly positive because of more volumes, more value-added products, and more contribution coming from aluminium and the plastic one. So as soon as there will be more volumes on that, there may be some upside, but not the downside.
Okay. And sir, third, before I joined the queue back again, in the cost structure side, we saw both the employee expenses going down Q1Q and the miscellaneous one also going down Q1Q. Anything one-off out there or this is just normal?
So employee cost in Q1 also reflected some incentives given, based on the performance to employees for extraordinary performance of last year.
Okay.
So that was an exceptional part.
In the Q1.
In Q1.
But Q2 is normal one.
Q2 is normal.
And on the miscellaneous expenses side, that also seems to have gone down from 57 crores to 40 crores.
Yeah, so miscellaneous expenses include sometimes some part of like hedging losses also sometimes. But this time, because it is on the other income side, whenever it is on the expense side, that is shown under the miscellaneous expense. But this time it is on the income side, so miscellaneous expenses in Q2 is the actual one.
Is the actual one. So this is the normal run rate that we are talking about, both the power, both the employee cost and the miscellaneous ones.
Correct.
Great, sir. Thank you very much. I'll come back for more.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you for giving the opportunity and congratulations for strong performance. Sir, I have first question on average realization. As volume growth is 17%, revenue growth 25%, so roughly 7-8% increase in realization per ton. So is it because of the product mix change as overall plastic contribution has come down and other lead aluminum has increased? Or because of the price increase? So how much would be because of the product mix? How much would be because of the price increase?
Yeah, mostly, Mitulji, is because of the lead metal prices. It is like lead prices came down in this quarter. So it came down from the, like realization of our lead came down from, so in case of lead, it is slightly improved rather. But in case of
sir, my question is on YOY increase of 25% in revenue versus volume growth of 17%. So it indicates nearly 7-8% increase has come from realization per ton. So that is, I'm trying to understand, it is because of the price increase, how much and how much would be because of the product mix?
Yeah, it is in case of lead, it is mostly in case of product mix. But in case of aluminum, it is more on the price side.
Okay. Second question is on EBITDA margin, as you are highlighting that Q2 would be considered as a stable margin. So are you indicating in terms of percentage margin or in terms of EBITDA per ton, which is you have given on your slide number 6?
So in terms of our EBITDA per ton margins, we are very clear that in lead we are expecting around 16 to 18 rupees, 16 to 17 rupees per ton EBITDA margins for lead.
And 17,000.
16,000 to 17,000 rupees per ton EBITDA margins for lead. And for aluminium, this figure is around 18,000 rupees per ton. This was lower in this quarter for aluminium, specifically because the prices went down and we don't have a very robust mechanism to hedge these changes in prices in aluminium and plastic. So some of the effect has been on aluminium business this quarter.
Your biggest segment is lead, wherein you are indicating that current.
19,000 would be the sustainable margins going forward also.
Current margin of 19,000 is also still too high even after correcting from Q2 level.
19,000 is basically because of Q1, where we had certain arbitrage opportunities in India. Therefore, we diverted some of the goods from overseas market into Indian market, which was giving us higher realizations. That was specifically because of the first quarter. Whereas 17,000 rupees that we got in Q2 is the sustainable realization, realizable volumes.
Sir, as per your presentation, Q2 year margins are 19,000 and Q1 margins are 21,000 or almost 22,000. That is why I'm asking that even Q2 margins are 19,214, you indicated in your PPT and in a call you are indicating 17,000 is sustainable. Probably further 12%-13% decline from current level you are expecting. This is what you want to say?
21,000 is for H1.
21,000 is for H1 and 17,000 for Q2.
I think there must be some mistake. I mean, let us see if we'll answer it later on, sir, specifically to you.
Okay. Presentation slides which says this.
H1 margin is 17,000.
Okay.
Q1 margin was 21,000.
Okay. That's why. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Chokhani from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, Yogesh.
Hi, Vaibhav.
Hi. Just a few questions. Do you have any updates on the plastic recycling legislation?
This legislation and EPR rules have been notified and people have started getting registration for under regulations of EPR in case of plastics. There is that particular penalty part where EPR is not done by the manufacturer or producers. That implementation is yet to be finalized. I hope in time to come that will take place because they have created one portal at the Central Pollution Control Board. That portal is under collection of data of producers and recyclers. It should take another 3 months in case of plastics.
Okay. Thank you. In terms of just currency impact, especially what we're seeing from the African countries, how has that been this past quarter? Do you see any major hiccups going forward?
Sir, we have very little or no impact on changes in currency in African market. Simply because whatever we are buying in that country is bought in dollar terms only. We price it at dollar terms, all the inventory that we buy in that country. We don't consume any inventory locally. We export everything, and that again is sold in dollar terms only. Any increase or decrease in the currency will not impact us.
Except rent, et
cetera. Except for some local expenses or local wages that we give there.
Right. With regards to the Indian OEM business, have you seen any changes in margins over there?
No changes in quarter-on-quarter basis. Sir, it will take time for these changes to happen. On a quarter-to-quarter basis, it's still in the same, I mean, in the same line actually.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kinjal from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on this strong result.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Kinjal. The audio is not clear from your line. Please increase the volume of your device.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations on strong results. My first question is on the part where you mentioned that we have successfully reduced the debt by around 90 crore in 2 months. could you please share the strategy around it and how would be reducing the debt further going forward?
Yeah, so Kinjal, there was the strategy is that we are going to increase the volume from the domestic scrap, which major part of scrap in domestic is coming from OEMs, where we don't need to pay for that scrap through which we are getting from the OEM, which is coming from the retail automobile sector. So we are going to increase that share for Indian business, Indian recycling business. So as soon as we have that more volumes coming in from that sector, the working capital requirement for the incremental business is going to be not that much. So it will overall improve, and that is going to replace the import scrap in India, and imported scrap which is coming to India is going to be used in overseas plants for us. So and then we have recently established the Mundra facility, where the earlier the scrap was moving to Jaipur, and that was causing the higher working capital cycle of 7 days coming in, 7 days going out for exports. So all these efforts have brought down this working capital requirement for us, and we came down from 95 days to 80 days closely, and it is going to be further down by another 15 days in next 2 to 3 years. So this is the strategy, and that is causing the lower requirement of funds and lower debt also that is causing. So we are going to reduce the requirement of debt, short-term debt, further by reducing this working capital cycle.
All right. Thanks for answering that. A follow-up question on this would be, you spoke about the increasing domestic scrap.
Sorry to interrupt you, ma'am. Again, the audio is not clear. Please use the handset mode.
Yep. Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. Touching on the increasing domestic scrap from OEMs, currently, how much percentage of the scrap that we are importing or we are getting from the domestic OEMs, or do we get everything from international OEMs tie-ups?
No, so everything that we're getting in India is from domestic OEMs only. We're not importing anything from OEMs from outside India. So the 47% scrap that we are getting in India is mostly from OEMs in India.
All right. Okay. My next question would be, if you could please explain on how the changes in the government policies are we looking at, how will it impact Gravita, and how will it impact the further verticals that we are going to come up with, like e-waste and lithium-ion batteries, if you could throw some light on that.
The current policy of particularly battery waste management rule, which were at draft stage, has been notified by the government in the month of August 2022. So the new rule has notified all types of battery now. So lithium ion also will become part of those batteries. Earlier rules were having only lead acid batteries. And there is a part B which is called EPR. So the committee for EPR has been constituted, and this committee has to make their reports or finding and put up the value of EPR within 6 months of time, and there will be a portal under CPCB in case of battery waste also. So rules are in place in case of a battery if we talk about, and the EPR will be in process in another 6 months time.
So to answer your questions further, all these rules basically are to whether it is EPR or battery waste management rules or end of life for vehicles, all these rules are basically to bring all the recycling in a proper manner in organized sector in India. So if we bring, because most of these scrap generally is processed in the unorganized sector in India, and if we can shift this from unorganized to organized, that is going to help companies like Gravita.
Understood. Thank you so much. And just last question from my side would be, if you could share your views on pricing of lead, aluminium and plastics in the second half, and are we looking at hedging opportunities for materials other than lead?
So basically in lead it is very simple to hedge because it's available on commodity exchanges, whether it is LME exchange or MCX in India. So it's very easy to kind of hedge that metal. Whereas plastic is coming in various forms. It's not one standard plastic that we buy. We buy PP, and PP also are of different grades. So it is very difficult to hedge that because it's not sold on or it's not available on exchanges. Similarly, for aluminium also, we are not doing pure aluminium. We basically are into aluminium alloys, and that is also not currently available to be exchanged on exchanges. But we are putting in an effort to register alloys of aluminium in MCX also. It may take probably 6 to 9 months going forward, but once that happens, then it would be very simple for us to hedge alloys also in India.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Raxan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, firstly, are we keeping a tab on the new EU waste shipment rules that might come in and how it might affect the scrap movement going forward? And do we have an opinion on how we'll stand or might fare if they indeed go ahead with the proposals?
Yes, as of now, the import from EU to India is very less, particularly in case of lead scrap. So our mostly volumes are coming from other than EU and US market. This is mainly coming from Africa, Middle East and other South Asian country. So that regulation won't affect us much. And our overseas plants are sourcing scrap locally. So that 40% volume will be affected almost nil. And this rather 60% has another 50% from overseas business. And we had hardly very much percentage of our scrap coming from EU market.
And on the sales side also, although we sell into European Union, but the thing is that we are only looking at from the demand point of view, but also in the supply side also, you must have seen that there are quite a few smelters that are closing down because of energy issues. So there would be disruptions from the supply side also. So we believe that this will give us opportunity to supply to EU. Better opportunity to supply in EU going forward.
Understood, sir. So secondly, could you talk about what kind of opportunities we are working on in the rubber recycling space and in what geographies?
So rubber recycling is a very new vertical. In the first phase, what we are doing is we are only doing it for our own captive consumption because all the three products that we are getting out of rubber, basically carbon, iron and pyrolysis oil. All these three are used in our own smelting processes. So we are only increasing capacities to the extent where we can use all this for our captive consumption. In future, as and when we have additional capacities from rubber recycling in various locations, we would look at other avenues of for sales of some value-added products from rubber also.
Sure. Sir, in the last call, you had mentioned that the EU and US battery market is managed by battery manufacturers. So post-EPR, is it not a possibility that a similar trend might happen in India as well?
Absolutely. That is going to happen in India only. But all these battery companies do not recycle the batteries in US or Europe. They have partners like recyclers like us in those countries also who recycle on behalf of those battery companies. So that is what India is going towards in all the recycling verticals, especially in battery waste management, where it's environmentally, very critical. So if that happens, we believe that is going to happen. And if that happens, then the scrap availability for recyclers like us in partnership with battery manufacturing companies would give us great opportunities going forward.
Oh, great, sir. Sir, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Rook Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible? Yeah, please.
So I had three questions. Firstly, on the recent battery management regulations, so I understand the point that, you know, because of that, you have to rely less on imports, which would firstly reduce your freight costs on the import side, and also it would reduce your working capital requirement. That is absolutely clear. What I wanted to understand was, the sense I got from the regulations is that the battery OEMs are now held responsible to collect it via the dealer network and then send it to the organized channel and then use the process led back into their production. And that is the percentage number that is basically given. So if my understanding is correct, and let's say the regulations are successfully implemented, in 3 to 5 years from now, would this regulation only increase the tolling portion of your revenue? Is that the case? Or is it that generally sourcing would improve and you can use the OEM sourced batteries and then use the process led for exports as well? So my question is whether you would benefit from a sourcing perspective for both domestic and exports, or is it just a one-to-one contract with either of the OEMs where you have to supply it back to them?
Yes, your understanding on part one is correct, that they have to collect, but there is a part two also which says even they don't collect in that case, or even they don't buy recycled lead, in that case they can buy certificate from the recyclers. So if I buy battery in domestic market and sell lead to export or some other application, that much volume of certificate I can sell to them. So that will be another parallel market. The certificate will have a value and that will be regulated on a portal. So both way it will go, because if they do not have much collection center and tolling mechanism, they can buy even.
So to answer your question, only bigger player can would be able to have a partnership with recyclers and have their tolling arrangements, but smaller players would have to rely on certificates from recyclers to do it, and that will create an opportunity for recyclers to buy from the market and either sell it to those recyclers or to the battery manufacturers, or export it and give the certificates to the battery manufacturing company, the smaller battery manufacturing companies.
Got it. That is absolutely clear. My next question is on the growth potential in this market. Again, assuming that the regulations are successfully implemented over the next 5 years, do you see a case where the organized volumes can actually exponentially increase, like to the extent of 2 to 3x probably in the next 5 years, number one? And given the fact that this technology for smelting is not extremely complicated and there are hundreds of recyclers actually present, but who don't have any utilization at all because of raw material sourcing, those guys would also come in. And do you see, hence, do you see that the Gravita would also grow, but do you see their share slowly reducing as the market sort of becomes 2 to 3x? So two parts to that question with you.
So basically, we believe there is going to be consolidation in the sense, because if you want to do it in a proper manner, the number of players that are there currently will reduce dramatically. Most of the unorganized player will be out of question, because currently their only advantage is that they are not doing it in a proper manner, and also there is a tax benefit to the unorganized sector currently. Once that goes away and that benefit is not there, we believe there would be consolidation, and only maybe around 20 odd players on India would be there. And there would be enough opportunity for all of these recyclers to grow at the same rate of 2 to 3x. So it will not go down. It will increase. I mean, if the overall capacities in the organized sector grow by 2 to 3x, players who are there already, who are, like Gravita, who has pan-India presence, would grow much faster than the 2x or 3x that the market would grow by.
Got it. All clear on the second part of my question. On the first part, do you at all see the market becoming 2 to 3x in the 5 years? And this basically hinges from the fact that this regulation was already present for the last 20 years, right? And recently some additional parts have been added. But what do you see different this time, and do you think that 2 to 3x is possible this time? Because
the basic difference this time is that the onus has been put on the brand owners now.
So it is now the owner. Earlier it was on everybody. The retailers also were to file the returns and all those things, and it was not implementable. Now the onus of implementation is on the brand owners. So they are held responsible if they are not able to buy back the batteries or get it recycled through organized recyclers. They are the one who would be put responsible. Similarly for EPR also. So once you do that, then it becomes more implementable, and we are looking at it. I mean, in the past 1.5, only in the last month has these been notified now, the rules. But we have seen the impact happening much before that. All the big players have started looking at ways to start collecting back the batteries, and it has started So we are in no doubt that the volumes will grow 2x, 3x, whatever the number is. If the organized sector is able to increase their capacities in the same manner. So the only problem would come if whether the organized player can increase those capacities in time to do the recycling or not.
Got it. All clear. Do I have time to slip in one more question?
Please.
Sure. Last question from me, and this is more of a strategic question. So when I was studying the business, I understand that, let me know if I'm wrong, broader lead products, aluminium products, plastic products, the overall global industry growth would not be very high, right? It would be less, probably in single digits itself. So when you are expanding your capacity from currently less than 200,000 to around 425,000, could you please spend some time talking about the demand side of the equation in lead, aluminium, plastic? Are there any trends, or do we have any material advantage over other competitors that, you know, we'll be able to grow that fast basis share gains, because the overall industry is not going that fast? So if you could just spend time and give confidence on the demand side of the piece.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I would go back again on the supply side. As I mentioned, that there are, although even if we consider that there is going to be no growth in the sector, for example in battery segment, but the shift from unorganized to organized itself will give you a 2 to 3x growth. So even if nothing happens in the sector, although Indian automobile sector is growing, and we believe that going forward it will have impact on the battery manufacturing also. But even if we agree to you that there is no growth like in the Western country, the shift itself will give us growth itself. And the same is happening. So that is why if you look at all our expansions, all our, geographically, wherever we are in developing countries where we see there is a gap, there is no recycler available, or there are the material, the scrap is not getting processed in the right manner. Those are the countries that we are focusing geographically also. And third part is that currently we are very small. So gaining market share is not a problem. We are hardly 1% of the total global market. So even if we go to 2% or 3%, it will hardly affect anybody, and at the same time we will go 2 to 3 times very easily.
Thank you. Mr. Chatterjee, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Hardik Gauri from Alpha Plus Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you have an order book of about 60,000 metric tons. So can you give us a breakup of the order book, or is it entirely lead only?
Yeah, so majorly the order book consists of the orders for the lead vertical, because we have some certain contracts with the OEMs also, and certain contracts with the traders like Trafigura, Glencore and others. So the major part of 80 to 85% consists of lead, and then some part of aluminium and plastic also.
So basically, because we are not hedged in aluminium or plastic, we generally don't take orders beyond a particular period. Whereas in lead, because we are hedged, we can take orders, we can have annual contracts with the customers.
All right. And sir, in your presentation, you have mentioned that you'll expand the capacity to 425,000 metric ton per annum by 2026. So can you share the breakup of between the segment, as in how much will be lead, how much will be aluminium, and how much will be plastic?
So
That will be helpful.
Yeah, this capacity of 425,000 tons, so we target approximately lead should not be more than 70 to 75%. So that's the target. We are growing faster than the lead for aluminium and plastics.
All right, got that. That will help me. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Is my voice clear?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand your business model. You know, you, I was looking at the presentation and you seem to have a lot of turnover out of India, but profits you are showing is from overseas. So can you just explain how you do sourcing and, you know, how processing happens and where do you sell?
So,
related to that question is, I want to understand what is the impact of this rupee depreciation on your business? Is it beneficial or is it negative for you?
To answer your first part, actually it all depends on sourcing of raw material. In all the overseas territories, wherever we are present, we are using local domestic scrap, whereas the model in India was to import scrap into India and then process it. So a lot of value was getting diluted in logistic cost itself. Whereas what now we have started doing after this battery waste management rules coming into picture is that we have started sourcing more local scrap, and that will probably increase the profitability of Indian plants also. But at the same time, the scrap is cheaper per se overseas as compared to India. So the profitability of overseas centers would always going to be higher than Indian plants. So that is the first part. This, and also wherever we are geographically present, they enjoy certain benefits, like for example Ghana and Senegal plants have certain tie-ups with European market where they are exempt of import duties. So that also gives you additional benefit if you sell your material from these countries to Europe or US. So all in all, these things make overseas territories more profitable. Also, there is no tax because most of these are free trade companies, and we have 0% tax in most of the overseas companies. So that also gives you additional delta. That is the first part. What was the second part, sir?
Is the rupee depreciation beneficial for you, or since you are importing scrap?
So it does not impact us, because when we import scrap, we also export equivalent amount of lead. So it's in dollar terms only. But there are times when we see that Indian market is better. During those times, if there is an additional delta we get by selling into Indian markets, we make use of that and collect some arbitrage over it. But otherwise, we can always sell it back in dollar terms. So there is no impact of rupee depreciation.
So you source scrap internationally, bring it to India, process it, and then sell it, right?
Then export it.
I also saw that you set up now processing plants abroad, and the investment doesn't seem to be much. So, I mean, is that the model going forward, that you would set up processing plants there only, and then, because it's a recycled material, it can be sold anywhere, right?
So, no, we have our own plants in other countries also, and we are increasing the capacities also. And we keep on putting new plants also. For example, we are putting up a new aluminium recycling plant in Togo in this quarter also. So we are increasing our capacities overseas also. But to answer your question, we can't put up all the plants in all the countries. Because certain countries, there is not enough scrap available. So from those countries, we would like to bring it to India.
Okay.
And in other countries where the scrap availability is there and we get some advantage in processing the material in those countries, we put up our own plant. So,
but you could put up a larger plant in Africa, for example, in Ghana or something.
So we have done the Ghana plant. Currently is one of our biggest plant, because we can source scrap from adjoining countries in Ghana. So that is why we've increased the capacities in Ghana, and it's currently around. Uh, 16,000 tons per annum plant for lead. And we are also putting up a capacity of aluminium in that plant.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Singh from Auralis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to understand is that we are geographically very diversified, and it has always been our focus. But when I see some of the competitors, they are very consolidated in one geography. So could you explain why would that be the case, and why would they not go outside India to overseas, similar to Ghana, Senegal?
Sir, I think in scrap business, it's always better if you can be as close to the scrap generation as possible, because logistic cost kind of mitigates the scope of increasing capacities. So it's a give and take, but I think having numerous recycling plants across geographies is always going to be a better option. Sometimes maybe getting management bandwidth to run all those plants is not there in most of the companies in recycling, because they are not professionally managed. That can be one of the reasons why they don't go and expand in various geographies.
Got it, sir. Because of similar reason, our inventory would also be higher, right?
No, it's basically not higher because of that. It's only higher if you import that scrap from all across the world to one location. Then it will be higher. If you are putting up various plants in various locations, then you can, I mean, there is no transit period where your inventories are lying in transit. So in fact, having many plants will reduce the inventory levels and not increase the inventory levels.
Yeah, but that's not the case with them. They are consolidated, and they carry a lower inventory as well compared to their sales. So like, I don't understand what am I missing. Why do we carry so much inventory?
So I'll give you an example. There are two things. I mean, if you look at our overseas plants, the inventory levels are lower as compared to our Indian plants. In Indian plants, the inventory levels are higher because we are importing that battery scrap from overseas markets, and it generally takes around 1.5 to 2 months for that scrap to reach the Indian plants. So whatever amount of inventory is in transit increases the overall inventory levels. So consolidating will always increase the inventory levels, because you are bringing in inventories from all across the globe. I don't think there are many people who are doing this. Most of the people are only, they are not consolidating. They're just using the local scrap, and they're not growing beyond a point. If you want to grow beyond a point in one geographical location, beyond a point, it will be counterproductive.
Okay, understood. And earlier you mentioned that battery OEMs in Western nations, in U.S., developed nations are partnering with us. As recycler, as in. So do we import scrap from U.S. as well?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Not battery scrap. We import other kind of scrap from U.S., lead scrap from U.S. We also import aluminum scrap, but we don't import battery scrap from U.S.
We do import lead scrap, though.
Yeah, we do import lead scrap.
Okay. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in order to reach the overall capacity of 4 lakh kg by.
Sorry to interrupt you. Please use the handset.
Am I audible now?
Sir, we can hear some disturbance from the line. Please use the handset.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, sir, in order to reach the overall capacity of 425,000 by FY26, what could be the CapEx guidance for the same?
Yeah. So the total CapEx for this capacity expansion by 2026 is going to be approximately 70-80 crores per year till 2026. And there will be certain new verticals also. So 70-80 crore for the existing verticals, lead, aluminum, plastic, and including the rubber also, which is also the current vertical. And then we have certain new verticals, which will also have the capex of approximately 200 to 250 crores in next 3 years total.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Dheeral. The audio is not clear from your line.
Sir, how are we looking to fund the capex?
Yeah, so major part of this capex will be internally funded. For this journey from 2022 to 2026, we need a incremental capital of approximately 1300 crores, including the working capital requirement. So considering this capex also. And so out of this 1300 crores, 900 crores will be funded from internal growth, and 300 to 400 crores will be funded from taking off additional debt, or we can raise some money from equity also at the right time.
And so lastly, when we are targeting almost 50% mix from the value-added product, and let's say if we achieve that mark, so what could be the improvement in the EBITDA margin simultaneously?
Yeah, so EBITDA margin will, as we can see that more volumes and more value-added products is improving the margins from 8 to 9%. We have already reached to 9%, close to 9% now. And with the more volumes again and more value-added products in future, we can improve this from 9 to 10 in the range of around 10. So that's the, and we are also improving the certain other operational efficiencies, the recovery part also, so which is taking us to this 10% on a sustainable basis.
Thank you. Mr. Dheeral, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Chirag from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Just one question on the EBITDA per ton side. We understand that more sustainable range is in the 16 to 17 rupees per kg or the 16,000 to 17,000 rupees per ton. Can you help us understand, sir, right now with the number that we are sitting on, which is around 18 rupees, 19 rupees, it's a 20% delta. Once we are fully hedged, what are the other factors that still move EBITDA per ton? Clearly we are above, and I'm sure there will be cases that will be probably a little bit below what we are targeting. But what are those factors that, once we are fully hedged also, that still sort of affect EBITDA per ton in that range?
There are two, three factors. One is more volume, because there are certain costs which is fixed cost in nature. So that is also part of this, that is also reduced from this EBITDA per ton. So if that cost remaining same and we have more volumes, so that's the one factor. And another factor is the more value-added products. So because in case of value-added products, we get slightly better margins, better EBITDA margins, better realization, up to 2-3%. And the third factor is that the more volume which is coming up, like we are adding some more verticals also, so that's also sharing certain fixed cost for us in case of different verticals is sharing the fixed cost, so that's also improving the overall EBITDA per ton. So these are the factors.
Understood. Very clear. And when you say 16 to 17 rupees kg, which is what we think is sustainable as of now, what kind of percentage of value addition are you assuming when you say that? Is it around 40-45% value added product? Is that what you are assuming to come to the 16-17 number?
So generally, it's around 42% of the value added products currently.
Understood. And when you say 16-17 is sustainable in the current environment, that means that if 42 were to remain, 16-17 would be sustainable. If 42 goes up, then probably some part of that will flow down again to EBITDA per ton, right?
Right. Right. So what happens is that whenever we are creating a new center, or we are increasing capacities overseas, then it does not translate to value-added product immediately, because in value-added product, you have to get that plant also certified from the OEMs. So it generally takes some time for you to register a new plant, a same product from a new plant also. So generally there is a lag between setting up a capacity and then getting approvals for value-added products for that plant. So it may take some time for us to reach 50% value-added products, because we have increased quite a few capacities in the last year.
So therefore, although the volume of value-added product has grown, but the percentage-wise, it is still at around 40%-45%.
Understood, sir. I understand what you're saying. Very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Sir, in the rubber recycling value chain, you mentioned that you're doing a little bit of pyrolysis for captive consumption. But indicatively, when we expand the rubber business going forward, would we be focused only on more value-added business such as reclaimed rubber, crumb rubber, and the likes instead of pyrolysis? Or would pyrolysis also be a focus?
So we would be going in for, by the way, crumb rubber is not as, I mean, it does not add value as much as pyrolysis oil does. But definitely, going forward, we would go into other usages of rubber recycling, I mean, other products coming out of rubber recycling. Because pyrolysis oil has limitation in the sense that we can only use as much as we can consume. Beyond a particular point, we'll have to go and look for other opportunities in tire rubber recycling. Part of it would be crumb rubber, but then maybe other usages also we are looking at, like carbon black also.
Sure. So, and lastly, sir, you mentioned sometime back about having incentives, say, when you export to EU from Ghana due to the duty structures. But would that not come under threat with EU waste shipment rules, or would the demand side be fairly insulated and the point of scrap origin isn't point of origin is not EU?
As I mentioned, I think you're talking about demand from EU, right?
Yes, yes.
So as I mentioned earlier also that from the supply side also, the production of metals in EU has come down because quite a few smelting units have shut down in the past few months because of lack of fuel. So overall, if you look at the demand-supply gap, there is still higher demand than supply in those regions. So, and going forward also, we believe that, and because there is no entry tax from countries like Ghana and Senegal, so we will be quite competitive in supplying to these markets.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thanks.
We'll take the next question from the line of Kinjal from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just have one small question. While we are looking at expanding to other verticals, what would be the eventual product mix that we are looking at? And with these verticals, are we also looking at increasing our value-added product space?
Sorry, can you come up again? I can't hear you properly.
So my question was, since we are looking at increasing the other verticals and adding on to the new verticals as well, what would be our eventual product mix once the CapEx is done, which is, I think, by 2026? And are we also looking at increasing the base for our value-added products pertaining to these verticals?
Yeah. So going forward, we believe that by 2025-26, 25% of our business, at least 25% of the business would come from non-lead verticals. So that includes aluminum and plastic and also the new verticals that we would bring in. That includes e-waste, lithium, copper, paper. So by 2025-26, only 75% at the max would come from lead. Balance 25% would come from other verticals. That is first part. And definitely, in all these products, we keep on focusing on value-added products as end products. And we are not only doing basic recycling. We are going and doing value-added products. For example, in plastic also, we make food-grade plastic, which gives you better margins as compared to normal plastics. So definitely, value-added products is for all the verticals, not only for lead.
Understood. So just to clarify, currently, 80% of our revenues, sorry, we have 80% of the portfolio in lead. suppose the CapEx change that will be...
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Kinjal. The audio is breaking from your line. I would request you, ma'am, to repeat your last question, please.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yeah, it is better.
Yeah, so just to clarify, currently we have 80% of our portfolio in lead, and you're saying that by 2026 it will reduce down to 75%.
So it's currently at 83% and not 80%, and by 2025 it would be at the max 75%. Definitely we target higher, but some of the verticals, new verticals that would come in probably would not start giving you revenue in 2025. We believe that at the maximum level that would be 75%, and that too when lead is also growing at a healthy rate of 15 to 20%.
Understood. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you very much for participating in the earnings conference call. It has been a pleasure interacting with you all. We expect better operational performance coupled with volume growth in the upcoming quarters. We hope that we have answered all your queries. Please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team, Go India Advisor, in case any of your queries remain unanswered. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.